Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Champions Cast here on ZeldaDungeon.net. My name is Andy Spiteri, and as always, I am joined by Taylor Wells. How are you doing, pal?
Doing pretty good. Just having a nice little afternoon. Just had some lunch, so feeling good.
That's good. That's very nice. Taylor was on assignment last week. We skipped last week. The whole band is back together. And we've even brought in a very special guest, Zelda Dungeon's own managing editor, Rod Lloyd. Hey, bud.
Hey. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I just had my afternoon coffee, meaning I won't sleep tonight, but I'm okay, because it's Friday.
Well, you know what they
there
say.
There has never sleep been an episode week of the Champions Cast that I've ever done without coffee, so there you go. Except for the one I did with beer.
You gotta do, like, the late night recording, at least once.
Yeah.
We should save the late night episodes for one of those marathon ones.
Talk with, like, a whispery radio voice.
Welcome whispery to radio Champions voice Cast and break into our ASMR.
Yeah. I can't remember what that stands for.
Auditory meridian sensory response or something?
I don't know. For those of you that don't know, I didn't know this until a couple weeks ago when I was at the marathon. It's when people make, really loud, weird breathing noises really close to a microphone.
It's not just that, like, do you ever watch Bob Ross videos? The painter?
Yeah.
That guy gives me ASMR, and, like, he doesn't even really, like, he just kind of whispers, and it's very pleasant.
I had a video pop up on my Facebook memories from, like, 3 years ago, and it was this girl eating pickles, and I tagged one of my friends in it, and it was so gross. What are we even talking about, though? This is the Champions Cast, and we have a good show for you this week. Please stick with us, please. The big news, of course, over the last 2 weeks is the Nintendo Direct, which we are going to dive right into. But first, we just want to take a quick second and give you guys some cool information about things going on over at the site. The very popular series, Jamie Plays Zelda, has returned, and Jamie is playing his second Zelda game, which is A Link to the Past.
Woo!
Yeah.
I was going to say, he's already started a flame war talking about how he doesn't like the music.
Yeah, I can only see this going one way. It's kind of like, you know, when you played Monopoly back in the day with your friends, and then they were no longer your friends the day after.
Yeah, you talk ill about A Link to the Past, you might get thrown out of Mossy's house. I met Jamie. He's a very funny guy. We played some Wand of Gamelon together, so I think that's going to be good. For all of you guys that enjoyed the first season, you'll definitely want to check this out. And we have our second installment in the Inspired by Zelda series, written by yours truly, hitting the site
today,
Friday, by the time that you guys are going to be listening to this. So that game's all about It'll Do Too. It's a really cool Zelda-like game with an emphasis on puzzles and dungeons, and holy moly, that game has some puzzles that could stand up with the absolute hardest Zelda puzzles ever, and Portal puzzles ever, and any game that you could think of puzzles ever. Maybe I'm a baby, but man, that game kicked my ass when I was playing it, so highly recommend it for all you guys out there. Head over to the site, read all about it.
So worse or better than Oracle of Ages on the puzzle side of things?
I would say that it's harder than Oracle of Ages, because I don't remember Oracle of Ages being that hard.
I thought it was hard, because I spent hours and hours in individual dungeons, not knowing what the heck to do.
I'm almost due for a replay of Oracle of Ages, actually. It's been maybe like 5 years.
You definitely should. Yeah. The story's really good.
You know what? I played Seasons not that long ago, maybe like last year, and I was going to play Ages, and I never got around to it for some reason.
That's actually what I'm working on right now. I'm doing a playthrough of Seasons myself.
So, of course, the big news for the last couple weeks here has been about the Nintendo Direct. Originally, it was scheduled for last Thursday and was, of course, postponed due to the earthquake in Japan. So we obviously wanted to send our thoughts and prayers to all of those just affected by that. But on the brighter side, it was rescheduled for this last week on the 13th, and it dropped, and we are going to break it down for you guys today. So let's dive right in. What do you guys think?
I'm down. Let's do it.
Bring it on.
So this Direct starts off with maybe my favorite part of the entire shebang, Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yes.
Yes!
When they first showed that trailer, I thought it was just going to be more from the remake of Luigi's Mansion that's releasing later on this year, and I was very, very surprised and happy to learn that a full-on sequel is coming.
You know, I distinctly recall during our E3 predictions predicting something like this, and where we were going to get a Luigi's Mansion 3. Granted, we did not get it at E3, which is hashtag why I'm suckered into playing Final Fantasy IX later on. But Luigi's Mansion 3, I've wanted it for a long time. You thought that it was going to be just a remake. And
I didn't think we were going to get another one. Well, so like we do have a remake coming out. That one's coming out in October.
Right.
And it's a 3DS remake of the first one. I was confident that there was another Luigi's Mansion in the works as well, but I was almost thinking that, well, I was thinking it would be a 2019 game, which it ended up being. But yeah, I'm stoked. I really like Luigi's Mansion, and I don't know if I realized how much I actually liked Luigi's Mansion until I played Dark Moon for the second time, and I was like,
yeah, Dark Moon is excellent. The best 3DS
awesome.
Game.
It might be up there with like the best
maybe not better than A Link Between Worlds, but yeah, it's my favorite for sure. Like one of them.
It's really, really good, and like the second time I played it, usually I kind of have that drop off when I play a game for the second time because you're not experiencing it for the first time. But man, I was playing this game. I was like, this is awesome. I can't wait to play more Luigi's Mansion. And maybe it's just that it's portable, but I was so stoked when they announced that remake. I'm so stoked about Luigi's Mansion 3. My only complaint about the games is that they're short. So, like, you know, have at her with the Switch one, and let's see where it goes. Because I think that it's got so much upside and so much potential that this could be a really, really great Switch game.
One of my biggest questions right now, is it being developed by Next Level Games like Dark Moon was, or is it being developed by a different team?
I don't know.
Yeah, because like Next Level Games, I think, is the reason why Dark Moon was so good. Like, those mm-hmm. people always put out quality games.
Yeah, I would imagine for the Wii. I fear we'll definitely hear about it at E3. I wonder if we'll hear about it maybe even at the Game Awards in a couple of weeks.
Maybe.
It would make sense to me that this game probably launches around this time, like next year, like Halloween-ish time.
Yeah.
That seems like a good time for a game like Luigi's Mansion to come out.
So, I think that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're holding us over with the remake for the 3DS this year, and hopefully next year we get our Luigi's Mansion fix. But yeah, what a great way to start off the Direct. That had me fired up for the rest of the show.
Especially since Luigi kind of got the short end of the stick in the
Smash. He's back to life.
He was straight up executed. Glad to see he's back on his feet, though. Mad props to Luigi.
I don't know, maybe this is a prequel to Smash Ultimate. Yeah.
It's how he ended up in Dracula's Castle. That's actually where the game takes place.
Dude, if Simon Belmont appears in Luigi's Mansion 3, I will die.
How great would that be, just as an Easter egg somewhere, if you had Death and Simon Belmont in there?
That would be pretty hilarious.
Oh, at least that would be so good.
I'd appreciate it if there's a vampire character that said something like, said like the cheesy lines from Symphony of the Night.
Yeah. So Nintendo starts off the Direct on a huge high, Luigi's Mansion 3, which we're all excited for. And they also talk about Luigi's Mansion for the 3DS, which also looks pretty cool. I'm not going to go in chronological order of what they released or whatever, but I do distinctly recall they brought us right up, then they brought us right back down, because the next thing they talked about was Kirby's Epic Yarn for the 3DS.
Hey man, I got something to say about this. I'm excited because Kirby's Epic Yarn is probably the oldest game in my game backlog that I keep telling myself every year. This is the year I play Kirby's Epic Yarn, and I never do it. Now they're giving me a reason to do it.
Now you can not do it on the 3DS.
The thing I'm looking forward to the least is hearing Andy complain about how we've got yet another Kirby game for the next foreseeable future. Like, ugh.
You know, it's a law that's completely valid. So
it's a law of the universe. You know, summer comes, and we get a new Kirby game every year.
What? We don't have anything to release? Where's Kirby?
The
one interesting thing that I thought about this announcement was that this is a 3DS game coming out in 2019. So obviously the 3DS has some legs underneath of it. And, you know, that wasn't all that was shown for the 3DS. So maybe Nintendo is sticking to its word when they say that they're going to try and run these consoles beside each other. So yeah, that was the one takeaway from that for me.
Well, as successful as the Switch is, like, 3DS has a huge install base. Like, why wouldn't you release games for it? Like, it has a huge audience. Like me.
Not to mention the fact that Nintendo has repeatedly said, hey, we're not giving up on the system. And it was interesting because for the past little while, we haven't really seen a whole lot announced or released for it. And then all of a sudden, they hit us with this big news. So I'm definitely excited for this.
Yeah, I really thought that Luigi's Mansion might be its swan song, but I guess not, which is good. So there was that little nugget of information. So let's keep on rolling here into our next game. Katamari Damacy. God, you know what? I remember being 13 years old and could never say that properly. Ever.
You gotta sing the song. La 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 la. Katamari Damacy.
So this just like completely caught me out of left field. Because I remember this game from like the early 2000s, like maybe 2002
PS2
like
era, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this game on Xbox, was it? Or was it PlayStation?
I had it for PlayStation.
I had PlayStation it for PlayStation 2 as well, yeah.
I want to say it might have launched on Xbox first. I could be wrong, but anyways, I remember there it was like... It was like a meme.
There was a 360
memes were things. Yeah,
there was a 360 port. I think like Beautiful Katamari was one of its launch titles.
Yeah, it was maybe originally only for the PS2. However, when it was done again, it got ported to Windows, and now the Switch.
Nevertheless, I remember when the first title in this series launched, and people were just like, "What is this game?" And like from an outside perspective, it's just like, okay, you roll around and like collect things. That sounds kind of lame, but whatever. And then I played it, and I was like, "This is kind of funky." It's
ultra charming and deceptively difficult. Like,
yeah,
if you want to, like, it's very deep because you can get in there and like, you know, beat your best time and rack up like, I don't know, challenges and stuff like that. It's really fun.
The best way I could describe Katamari Damacy is the fact that it is. For Western audiences, it's probably one of the best games to kind of introduce you into like what Japanese games are all about. Like,
yeah,
it's that,
honestly,
as you said, that
it
charm.
It feels like an ode to hardcore quirky gamers. I'm not really expecting this to be like a smash success. But so that's what caught me so out of left field. I thought, you know, I'd never see this series again.
If I was porting this series to the Switch, I probably wouldn't have gone with the original Katamari. I probably would have gone with We Love Katamari, which was a sequel, which almost seemed like a pseudo remake of the first game, just with more stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the original game is great, so.
What do you think the chances are we get a King of All Cosmos amiibo?
Ooh.
I think the world deserves that amiibo.
Yeah. I want that so bad, but again, I'm stuck in the same place that I'm with on Skull Kid being in Smash, and where every fiber of my being wants it, but says it's not going to happen.
Am I the only one who thinks that the King looks like Tingle, by the way?
A little bit,
kinda,
yeah.
Kind of does, yeah.
When they made this announcement on this port, I was thinking to myself, like, maybe at the end of the show, they'll say the Prince or the King of Cosmos is going to be in Smash. They won't do it, though.
Oh, man, that would be good.
I mean, he's tiny, just like Olimar is, so why wouldn't you do it?
There you go. Next Smash ballot, you know who to vote for. The King of
Prince.
All Cosmos and the Prince. So let's move on and head on over to the next big game coming out of the Direct, which was Yoshi's Crafted World. So this was kind of leaked a few weeks ago that it would be called Crafted World. It's a sequel to his yarn game on the Wii U, which I never actually did get around to playing, but I've heard that it was quite good for what it was. Are you guys excited for this?
Yeah, I thought Woolly World was like very charming and cute, and I mean it was simple, but sometimes it's fun to just play a simple game. Like this is a game that me and my wife could play together, and she won't, you know, feel like it's too hard.
I'm absolutely excited for this. I mean, we were talking a lot about this in the Discord when the Direct was live, and how you mentioned that, you know, you see this game kind of as, you know, like maybe a children's game kind of thing. And I agree that it definitely has those elements, but I don't know. Like, there's just something so appealing about it, and Yoshi's probably my favorite character in the Mario series, and I don't think I've really ever played anything that has Yoshi in it and where I didn't enjoy it to some degree. So I'm pretty into this.
Yeah, I think
that's fair. nothing can reach the heights of like Yoshi's Island for me, because that game is so good. But yeah. I feel like it's just really nice to get back into Yoshi's shoes and throw maybe not eggs, but yarn balls around. Like that's just I don't know. It's freeing. It's fun.
We don't need that damn Mario tossing poor Yoshi into the lava every time he completes a level.
Anymore, and you don't need baby Mario crying every time he's separated from you.
Exactly.
That's the only thing I don't like about the Yoshi games. Actually, is baby Mario.
Well, yeah, so this is a good.
Yeah, no, I feel like this is kind of like Nintendo Labo for me. I really like the concept. I like the aesthetic of Yoshi's Crafted World. It's probably not a game for me, but like that's okay because it's not really designed to be a game for me.
Did they show Poochie? Was Poochie in that trailer?
I didn't catch it. Did they?
I don't know.
Poochie's got to be in there though.
No, Poochie's the best character. There you go.
Yeah, Poochie is. I was gonna say the man, but he's the dog. So yeah, I think that this will be like. If this game eventually was on like a Nintendo Select where maybe it was like $30 or something like that, I'd probably pick it up because like to me, Yoshi games were always like the blockbuster rentals. Like you could spend $5, rent them for a weekend and kind of get your fill.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think that there's a certain crowd who's going to be really excited for this game, and I think that's cool.
And the aesthetic, I think, is replacing the Paper Mario series for me, because I always like the look of Paper Mario games, but the last couple of Paper Mario games haven't been good. Like, yeah. Yoshi at least, like, looks good and plays good.
So next, we got our 57th port of a Wii U game, Finding New Life on the Switch. One of the worst-kept secrets in all of Nintendo Land is New Super Mario Bros. Wii U, or just...
Deluxe.
Just U, actually. Deluxe. God, that's a mouthful. New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. There we go. That's coming to the Switch, and also the DLC for that starring Luigi. I think it's just called New Luigi? Something like that?
Super Luigi Bros. U?
Super Luigi U? Wow. Whatever it's called. The one with Luigi. He's coming. They're all coming. I think there's like 160 levels or so in this game. I passed on this game on the Wii U, so I might pick it up now that it's on Switch.
I've heard Luigi U is better than the core game, because like I played the core game, and those dang Mario Brothers games with the co-op where you can have four players, they're not fun. I don't like playing four player Mario because everyone just picks you up and throws you in the pits and gets in your way.
Me and Taylor got into this when we were talking about our favorite Wii games, and I was kind of on your side with this, and he really enjoys them.
Defend yourself.
Oh, well, okay. I mean, first off, we had a lot of fun when we played Four Swords at the marathon, and a lot of that included you tossing me into various pits, you know, lava traps, what have you.
I was saving you.
Saving me, right, you know, stealing all my hard-earned rupees. But that's besides the point. I think, like, it also kind of depends on who you're playing with these co-op games, because if you have that one group who you know is going to be tossing you into the lava or tossing you into a pit, you know, you know what to expect. But then you can also have your other group where, you know, you work really hard to play together, play well, and work as a team and get through the levels. And I think the ability to decide, oh, I'm going to go through this by myself or I'm going to go through this with some friends, just opens up kind of the variability of the game, the variety, so to speak.
You're saying I just have bad friends?
I think you have bad friends.
Okay. But also, if I want to play on my own, those levels are, like, too big. I feel like the empty space is present.
They can definitely be expansive.
Yeah, because it's developed for four people in mind.
So definitely like a game Taylor. Designed to be played by multiple people at once.
Yeah.
Luckily, we
and
have
each
other.
If you have good friends like Taylor, pick
it's
it up.
It's true. I am the best of friend.
Which is strange, because Taylor's the least likable person on this podcast right now, but he has the best friends, go figure. I don't know how that's supposed to work, but oh well. Let's move on to the next game they showed. This one kicked off Nintendo's E3 presentation a couple months ago. I'm probably going to butcher the name of it, but whatever. Daemon Cross Machina.
It's Daemon Ex Machina.
Daemon Ex Machina.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
It's like a pun.
Play on words. I like to think of it as a discount Gundam. It feels very similar to, you know, many of the anime that's come out in Japan featuring mecha and giant robots fighting other giant robots. But the art style is really neat, and it looks like it's pretty fun playing online. Obviously, we won't know for sure until it comes out, but it's definitely a title that looks like it'll hit its mark with its designated audience.
Yeah, it feels like it fills a hole in the Zelda, or not Zelda, what am I talking about? It fills a hole in the Nintendo audience. You know, we already have all of our core Nintendo characters that are all cutesy, but, you know, this game doesn't feel like that. It's a little bit more edgy.
I wouldn't mind having Link pilot Mecha.
Ooh.
One game that's been on my list of games to buy for probably like the last 10 years is Zone of Enders. And I thought that looked really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that this looks as cool as Zone of Enders, but I think that it's something that I would be willing to try. I really hope that they release a demo for this game. I think that this is a game that when you're introducing a new IP like this, a demo really goes a long way to selling people. Because if it's decent, I'll always give a game a shot. But yeah, I wouldn't say I'm quite sold yet. But also, I wasn't quite sold on Octopath Traveler, and I ended up getting that and really liking it. So
I think if you end up playing Zone of Enders and you end up liking that, you would probably find enjoyment in this game because it looks
that's my theory, is maybe I'll go and buy Zone of Enders for like $10 or something like that, and it's not assured, but probably speaking, if I like Zone of Enders, I'd probably be into this game. So,
I mean, even if you don't end up getting this game, definitely pick up Zone of Enders.
All right, so let's move on to a game that I'm going to tell you right now that I'm passing on because I just think it looks terrible, and that is Starlink.
Oh, man, I got some stuff to say about Starlink.
This game looks like shit. Like, it looks awful.
Well, you haven't played it.
No, I've never played it.
Yeah, I got my hands on it at E3. It's not good. So the demo I played of it started sort of like a Star Fox style game where it was a little, you're kind of, you know, a ship in a tunnel, right? And you're in space, but then it kind of gave you free range mode and I'm exploring the surface of a planet and I can go kind of wherever I want until the gravity gets so heavy that I'm basically just a jumping ship or like, I don't know. It felt like just like a weird third-person shooter, but I was a spaceship rather than a person, and it has all the problems of a mediocre third-person shooter. Enemies take too many bullets to die. You don't have very good cover. It's just not good. It wasn't fun.
My biggest problem with this game is that the only thing that looks appealing to me from it is the Star Fox elements.
Yes, I would agree.
And then I just question, why didn't they just make this a Star Fox game?
Star Fox.
Yeah,
because in the demo I played, they had characters talk to you that aren't Star Fox characters, and they just seem like generic spaceman, you know, like bald space marine, spunky tech girl, and none of them seemed interesting or fun or make me want to get to know them. At least if Slippy the Frog was talking to me, I at least feel a little bit more at home.
That was my biggest takeaway when watching this, is like the inclusion of Star Fox characters doesn't make me want to play this game. It just makes me want a new Star Fox game. Because from what I saw at E3, I thought that the gameplay looked really bad. I thought that the aesthetic looked really bad. I thought that the whole toy-to-life aspect of it was really hokey and probably belongs with Skylanders in a space.
And inconsequential to the game, too. Like, the game, you don't even really need the toys. Like, everything's there for you.
Very confusing.
I think it seems to me that, I don't know, maybe they just know that this isn't going to hit, you know, the audience the way that they want, which is why they're kind of ramping up the Star Fox element of it. Because there was a lot of emphasis given to the Star Fox team and Star Wolf at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is just not a game for me. I think it looks really bad. And you know what? If you want to make a new Star Fox game, great. I'll get that new Star Fox game.
Just keep Miyamoto away from it.
Yeah. I'm not gonna get this.
Yeah, 100%
agree.
Well, that's probably our lamest game of the show. It's even lamer than Kirby's Epic Yarn, if you can believe that. So let's move on to something a little bit more cool. The World Ends With You. Did you guys get a chance to play this on the game or on the DS back in the day?
No, it missed me. Looks cool though.
I played a little bit of the way through it, and it's a game that I've always wanted to come back to and finish. It has a lot of appeal on an RPG level for me personally. Just I like the art style. I like the way that it was telling the story in the brief time that I got to play it. So for
its setting
is
pretty cool in the streets of Japan and stuff.
Yeah, and so for it coming to Switch, that it appeals to me because I'm just look, now I finally get my chance to get it back and complete what I wanted to do in the first place. So I'm hyped up for it.
I noticed is that this game is quite expensive. It's about $70.
Yeah.
Huh. Basically the price of a new Switch game.
Did you play it, Andy?
Yep, I played it. And I'm probably going to get dumped on for this, but I actually don't really have great memories of this game. I know a lot of people that play this game and say it's one of their favorite games ever, which is great. But it was okay. I wouldn't say it was one of the better DS games, I don't think. And I think a large part of that comes down to the battle system that they chose to use, and that it involves cards. And for me, when I'm playing an RPG, an immediate turn off is when they're just okay, you battle with cards.
Made my interest go down maybe 3 pegs when saying that.
It's definitely a problem. I'm not a huge fan of the card battles either, but when it comes to because there was an old school game for the PlayStation 1, I'm not remembering the name of it off the top of my head, but it had kind of a similar concept and where you had cards and you could summon things. You'd be on a grid map and
you know what? I'll give you a good example. Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories for the Game Boy Advance was a game that used battling cards.
And yeah, that's what I was thinking about when you said that.
Yeah, I thought that game was good enough to overcome that. I didn't really think that this game was good enough to overcome the card aspect for me. And there was a lot of supporting characters that I really liked, but the main character, Neku, he was kind of like Squall on steroids, or he was just this moody little boy.
He looks cool though.
Here we go.
I like his design.
But he's just he's kind of unlikable. I just didn't really like him all that much. So I don't know.
I mean, so is Zidane, but you don't see me talking about that.
Zidane, first of all, is extremely likable, and second, actually, you know what? I'm just gonna save that actually.
Just transition.
You'll get your comeuppance here in about 5 minutes there, Wells. But yeah, so I mean, I'm really stoked for people that are excited about this game coming back out. I think it looks, it looks better on Switch than it did for DS, that's for sure. So, yeah. A lot of people are excited about that, and I'm happy for them. Let's move on to a new RPG announced by Game Freak, the developers of Pokemon, called Town. I think that's
Where's it set?
It's looks to be set in a village of some sorts.
Would you say it's in a town?
In a town.
both of you. Just go home. Just go home.
I heard that when this game is finished, it's going to be called City.
Oh, boo! Wow.
Does it then turn into Metropolis for the third installment?
Yeah, the DLC
just turns into Civilization 6.
Civ 6.
So monsters attack a particular place, right?
Well, from what it looked like in the trailer, it seems like you're having this goal to build up the town, and then occasionally things will happen, or you have to actually go out and adventure to kind of like get materials. That's the feeling I was getting from it.
And fight monsters along the way.
Yeah.
It looked very Harvest Moon, which is why I'm sure that you're in love.
Yeah. See, I agree with that.
This is my problem. Is like, I am really looking forward to this game because I love city builders and I love, you know, that whole Harvest Moon aspect. But this is not a Harvest Moon game. Come on now.
This is
more
SimCity
than Harvest Moon.
I didn't put this game on our list of things to talk about because I didn't think it'd be interesting. But maybe let's just talk about it quick. Is that City Line game? Do you have any interest in that?
Oh, City Skyline?
Was it called City Skyline?
Yeah, City Skyline. It originally came out for the PC, I believe, and I never ended up playing it, but I know a lot of people who did, and they, like, universally, it was really well appreciated. So, it's one I've been meaning to pick up. I don't know if I'll pick it up for the Switch, because that kind of game seems definitely much more...
Seems like a PC game.
PC,
Much more oriented towards PC. But, that being said, for those of you who don't have a nice PC, it could be good on the Switch.
That's me. So let's move on to probably my favorite part of this entire Direct.
Here we
go. Squaresoft knows exactly what we all know, and that is that Final Fantasy VIII is the black sheep, is the worst installment of the 3D Zeldas, and so they gave
it's
it
three, the 3D Final Fantasies.
I'm sorry, I'm too excited.
You
Final
can't even
Fantasies.
Get your game straight, Andy. Who
they gave
Cloud
it
coming to Zelda?
They were
confirmed.
Like, "Squall, you're fired. Delete.
Get Zelda's Final Fantasy VIII."
Squall was deleted, but how? Like how insane is that Final Fantasy VII and IX and X and XII, all incredible Final Fantasy games, are coming to the Switch? That I was just like, unbelievable. I couldn't believe that.
It makes me wish I had just waited to replay VII until, you know, this next year.
Well, you're going to want to wait to replay VII anyway, because the whole freaking Super Smash remake that everybody's been wanting since the PS3 came out and they showed that tech demo at E3.
Yeah, dude, that game's never coming out.
It's coming out.
It's a dream. No.
That game's not coming out.
I can say the same thing about Kingdom Hearts.
So we had to sit through a lot of boring Final Fantasy announcements to get there, including maybe some people are excited for Crystal Chronicles coming to Switch. I've heard a lot of people like that game.
I've never played it, but I've heard a lot of people, you know, look back fondly at that game, playing with your friends with your Link cables.
Style for that, I think everyone just looks ugly in that game.
Yeah,
not a fan of it either.
Yeah, and then we have like the baby Final Fantasy 15 or whatever, and then they hit us with the good stuff. Final Fantasy 12 is probably one of the most underrated, maybe just games ever. A lot of people, I think, passed on Final Fantasy 12 because it came out so late into PlayStation 2's life, but like that game is so good. I sunk tons and tons of hours into it, and yes, Vaughn is absolutely terrible. But you can just get that guy out of your party like right away. So I'm so stoked to buy that when it comes out for Switch.
I feel like Final Fantasy XII tried to iterate on things that Final Fantasy X did really well. And I just don't think that it came off as successful. But I'm not going to say it's a terrible Final Fantasy game either.
I disagree with you. I don't think it's like X really and like the least. It has a completely different battle system.
I missed X and XII, so I'm pretty excited to play them. They're giving me reasons to do it.
Should definitely pick up 10, that's for sure.
Yeah.
10 I'd say 10 has a stronger story for sure, but 12 from a gameplay mechanic wise is just so incredibly solid. You can
what do they call it, the Gambit system?
Yeah, so basically you can, it's, some people complain that it was almost like auto playing your battles for you, but I really like the customization where you, like, you can set your characters to do things. So like attack a character with the lowest HP, or take care of all the flying characters first, or heal when you dip below 30% HP, or just like stuff like that. And it's a really clever system, and you could really go crazy in customizing it. And there's so many different and unique locations in that game. I really, really liked it. And I appreciated the throwback to like those like European kingdom style RPGs and stuff like that, because for the last couple of years it hadn't been that way, so it felt traditional at the same time.
That's cool.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Fair.
They said 9 is coming to Switch as well, right?
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. Yes.
If you want your traditional fantasy, Final Fantasy, there you go.
Well, I would go much more towards Final Fantasy VII when saying, hey, if you're going to play a Final Fantasy game on the Switch,
as we all know, Final Fantasy IX is the greatest Final Fantasy.
Let me finish, okay? Look.
And Taylor is going to be buying that game.
Hold on. Shut up for just 10 seconds.
Hold on. Like, tell him why you're going to be buying that game.
I'm trying to, but you keep shoving your elbows in. Look.
Taylor, are you going to buy that game?
Yes. Okay. Look, you hey,
Taylor,
heard
how
here.
Come?
I'm not a fan of this game. However, I am a man of my word. I lost the bet during the E3 predictions, so I'm actually glad that it's coming out for the Switch. Mostly because I'm hoping the price tag is going to be lower on Switch than it is on Steam. Because I'm not
that,
made
buddy.
Of money, and I'm not shelling out $800. For Andy's benefit, so
hopefully we get to watch Taylor play this game and finally come to his senses and realize that this is the definitive Final Fantasy experience. This game, character-wise, music-wise, story-wise, gameplay-wise, can't be topped. You can put that in the bank right now. The best Final Fantasy. I'm super stoked that it's coming. But Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy X are also amazing games, so I'm sure anybody listening to this already knows that, though, and they're excited.
You know,
and I'm sure
really
that we can all agree that we're all
world.
Happy that Final Fantasy VIII was deleted!
Delete! He put his mic down, he's like, I'm done!
I just can't anymore.
Let's go home. I'm kidding, we're not going home yet. So this was an interesting little tidbit that I found out afterwards. On the Japanese version of the Nintendo Direct, they apparently revealed that Assassin's Creed Odyssey will be available on the Switch via streaming. So much in the same way that Resident Evil 7, rather, it was available on Switch. So you guys know a little bit more about streaming. Walk us through what exactly this means.
So basically, this is something that the PlayStation, there's a feature on PlayStation that I believe is called like PlayStation Play or something like that, where you essentially have a vast library of PS3 games that you could stream to the console and play the game that way. It was their way of adding backwards compatibility to the PS4. As opposed to Xbox, which I believe just came out and was backwards compatible with stuff.
It's sort of like a Netflix for games, almost.
Yeah. So you find which one you want. Well, for PlayStation, you have to pay for it. So I think you can pay either. There's one option where you pay monthly and you just get access to all the entire library. I'm not sure if there's a feature where you're allowed to like rent individual titles, but I'm wondering if it's going to be the same thing for Switch and where you have to rent or buy the service.
That I don't
maybe.
Know.
Probably. It might be
in
an added
case,
perk of the online infrastructure system that they have, but we'll
yeah,
get to
that's
that.
That's what concerns me too, though, actually, now that you mention it, because unfortunately Nintendo has never really had the greatest kind of online system in place, like, ever.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how smoothly the game plays. I mean, if you're connecting through the wireless and you don't have like the peripheral in order to LAN hook up your Switch, I wonder if it's going to be any good.
Right. Well, let's look at the positive of this, and that is the fact that Assassin's Creed Odyssey is coming to the Switch at all, and it doesn't seem to be facing too much of a delay. So they obviously didn't announce it for... I'm actually not sure if they announced it for October when Assassin's Creed Odyssey comes out or not, but again, the fact that they announced it at all is a promising sign. So let's move on to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. We were shown a collector's edition where you can have a Smash Bros. Style Switch and some Smash Bros. Style Joy-Cons. But of course...
Beautiful art on the console as well.
Yeah, really cool art on the console, kind of lame art on the Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of the Breath of the Wild version that they did. Although I think it's the opposite. For Breath of the Wild, I really like the Joy-Con art. It was okay, the console art.
Yeah. So after the massive bombshells that were Luigi's Mansion 3 and Final Fantasies, all the good ones coming to the Switch, I was like, man, I want a Smash character reveal, and I'm good. And that is exactly what we got. So it starts off, it was a very Animal Crossing themed end to the Direct. And of course we got Isabelle revealed as the next playable character in Smash, which it doesn't really excite me. Or Isabella, I'm sorry.
It doesn't. It's Isabelle, isn't it?
Is it Isabelle? Okay, either way, it doesn't really excite me. I'm not like a huge Animal Crossing guy, but I think all of her moves look actually pretty cool. She's not a clone of Villager, so that's good.
Yeah, that's what some people thought was the case initially.
And, she's a full-on new character.
Full-on new character. Lots of cool looking moves. I really enjoyed Villager in the last Smash Bros. Game. So it makes sense for Animal Crossing to have more representation in Smash. It's such a huge Nintendo series. So I'm pretty pumped for everybody that's excited about it.
I really was hoping that we just get Tom Nook as a character, because like if I was gonna have an Animal Crossing character come to Smash, it should just be Tom Nook.
You don't agree with the Isabelle choice?
I don't know. I'm not a Tom big Nook Animal Crossing before. Fan either.
Yeah.
But I know that Isabelle is popular.
I thought he would have been the obvious choice to
yeah.
See, as a Harvest Moon fanboy, like I can't get on this Animal Crossing train, but I'm super happy for all the Animal Crossing fans that are out there in droves who are probably pretty happy about this themselves.
And it made sense considering Isabelle was in Mario Kart, so I guess, you know, just a logical step for her.
And we do need more fun characters like that. I totally agree that Villager was a blast to play last time around. So to have another character in that kind of same vein, but with, you know, new moves and being their own, it's really nice. And it's good to see.
I think a lot of people called Isabelle coming when this game was announced. So to see her officially join the roster maybe isn't like the most dramatic way to end a Nintendo Direct. But, of course, that's not how Nintendo chose to end the Nintendo Direct. They stuck with the Animal Crossing theme. Big Bad Tom Nook was on the screen. And then the logo came down for Animal Crossing, the next installment, dropping in 2019. And I could hear Darren Haar in the world somewhere just absolutely losing his mind.
We love you, Dern.
Yeah. So, which was really funny because I was like, dude, they're not going to announce Animal Crossing. And then I tweeted back. And I was like, well, you never know, actually. Maybe they will. They announced a Smash at a Direct after all. So, and there you have it. They announced Animal Crossing. So lots of people are super excited for that. It'll sell really well. So I'm all for it.
I'm just hoping this means that I'm going to get a new Harvest Moon sometime soon.
I don't mind Animal Crossing. It's never been my favorite, but it's nice to. I think on the phone is the best way to play it.
It just never got its teeth into me, to be honest. I like that it exists, and I like the aesthetic, and I love the music. And every time there's a new Animal Crossing game, I listen to the soundtrack because it's great. They're always great, and just carefree and perfect work music.
I tried to get my fiance to play Animal Crossing because I really thought that she would like it. And she didn't really take to it. And you know what? I even deleted my Animal Crossing file. I think I had her play Wild World, the one on the DS. And it didn't really capture her attention, which I guess is fair because there's not really a point to Animal Crossing in the grand scheme of things other than just like managing your town and whatever. So, but no, I'm really happy for all the people that are like super stoked about this.
Yep. Yeah. I'm happy for them too.
So we skipped over the middle part of the presentation, which was Nintendo's online rollout. And I use that term very loosely because they really didn't say anything that we didn't already know.
Yeah, other than maybe a few hardware reveals. All of the information was already available to us.
Mm-hmm.
Even I was even reading that they were like, oh, they've released all, or they revealed all 20 NES games that will be available on Nintendo Switch Online. I was like, I kind of thought we knew all of those.
I was the same way. I guess I read a tweet and we didn't know that Metroid was confirmed to come to that, but like, I feel like that's pretty low hanging fruit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's Metroid. It's probably going to be there, especially if it's a rotating cast of games. So yeah, they didn't really say anything new about it at all. The newest thing that they said was they're dropping the NES-style Joy-Cons, which actually look pretty cool.
Wait, so I was actually reading into that a little bit more. Did you know that those NES Joy-Cons are only available to paid members of Nintendo Switch Online?
Yes.
So really? So you have to have a subscription and like provide your member number in order to even purchase them.
Wow.
And it's one set per member. Or household, if you've got a family membership.
So
I don't know how I feel.
In other
about
words,
that.
These bad boys are going to be on eBay for like $300 bucks.
Absolutely, and I have a feeling we're going to have another NES classic debacle on our hands.
I wonder though if they're asking for the code when you buy the NES Joy-Cons, will the Joy-Cons themselves in their programming be locked to those codes as well?
Probably not.
I
doubt it.
See them. I don't even know if Nintendo's sophisticated enough to pull something like that off.
It just seems like they're going way out of their way to enforce that. You know,
the great thing is these things are wireless. You can charge them with your Switch by plugging them into the side. I saw a really funny picture on Twitter of if Nintendo was to release classic N64 controllers or Joy-Cons that are shaped like N64 controllers, you can stick them in the side of your Switch and make it look like it has wings.
Wow.
That'd be like a Zelda weapon right there, like the size coming out. Raphael use that for sure.
Freaking double trident.
And then, so this other little tidbit snuck its way out after. Apparently, the saves that you create and you upload to the cloud might be in danger if you do not renew your online subscription.
Oh, great. So we've got yet another thing that's coming out about these cloud saves that sound terrible.
That's a punch in the nose to go along with the black eye of Nintendo's explanation for games like Splatoon and Pokemon Let's Go not being eligible to receive cloud save status, which is... their reasoning to me still doesn't make sense, probably because I'm not a hacker, but apparently those games cannot, they're not allowing people to back up their save files for those games because of potential save scrubbing and cheating. So, you know,
and there's a firmware coming out next week that will permanently link Nintendo accounts to the Switch. So it's coming up fast.
That's the same one that's launching with the the online service, right?
Correct.
Right. So yeah, this thing rolls out on the 18th, and you can try. I think it's a 7-day free trial.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not very much money. $20 US a year isn't going to break the bank. I think if it is, you probably aren't in a place where you have a Switch and video games, anyways. But it is disappointing to see that Nintendo is still, you know, so far behind its competition in terms of like how online should work and how it does work, and it just
and what they're offering. Like,
yeah,
Microsoft and Sony are both offering like free semi-recent games every month, and Nintendo is just offering the NES games. Yeah. I was actually reading that. Go ahead, Andy. Sorry.
I was just saying, like they tried to sell it like they're all multiplayer now, which is cool. But like, is anyone really clamoring to play 2-player NES pro wrestling together in 2018?
Two-player Ice Climber.
Yeah, like
I'll do 2-player Legend of Zelda. Not that that's ever going to happen, but.
But I'm like, Kotaku was speculating that, I think it was Kotaku, that they may bring SNES games to Switch Online at some point down the road. But even then, I'm like, I don't know if that's enough to get me to want to buy into it either.
Yeah, this is something that I brought up way back when we were first starting to get information on Nintendo Online. They announced the whole NES bit. Is that, like you said, with PlayStation and Microsoft, you know, at least we're getting AAA titles, you know, occasionally. I don't know for Xbox, I don't have an Xbox One, but for PlayStation, when you have PlayStation Plus, every month they have one or two AAA titles that are free to play. So they had Bloodborne at one point. They had they had Dead by Daylight, I think, last month or this month, one of the two.
But Sunset Overdrive was released on Xbox like not long after it was released, free to play.
Okay, well,
there's a good selection of games on Xbox too. To your point,
right? And so like with Nintendo, we're getting games that are 30 years old. Granted, they're great games, but still.
Like, yeah, some were great games.
Right. Okay, yeah, sorry. I hedged my bets. Some of them were good.
I distinctly remember seeing Pro Wrestling in that little montage they had of the 20 NES games coming to the online subscription, and I was like, good God, this is their offering? So, I don't know. It is what it is. It's a rotating cast of games, though, so hopefully that does evolve to include even some Game Boy games or some SNES games. I think that would be... Yeah, like that would be kind of what I pitched at E3, where they'd have like that Netflix-style virtual console, and I could live with that. I would even pay more for that. I think as it is right now, it's, you know, it's pretty lame, but at the same time, it's not that expensive. I'll just get it to have it. And hopefully it gets better over time.
Yeah, that's a good thing. At least it's cheap.
Yeah.
True that. I'm just looking at these games, man. It's like Excite Bike, which is so not worth any money at all.
Sweet. I'm excited.
Baseball.
I'm excited to bike. I don't know. It definitely room for improvement. It still feels like it's being run by your grandpa, and he's just kind of figuring out what the internet is.
Literally is run by a grandpa.
But I mean, that's Nintendo, man. Some people are going to say that we're giving them a free pass here instead of taking them to town. It is what it is, and all you can do is hope that it gets better over time.
I don't know.
I think they're going to have just a giant fiasco on their hand with those NES Joy-Cons. I really do.
Yeah, something tells me they may just start releasing them for everybody down the road anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's definitely a way to get people to buy up.
But yeah, it's a weird like subnote they added there when I was reading up on the news. Like I don't think they even said it during the direct that they're going to be releasing them that way.
No, they didn't. I read it after as well. I read it today like an hour ago.
Yeah, I had to go to the Nintendo press site and read their write up on it to get that information.
Trying to sneak it in, man.
So overall, what do you guys rate this Nintendo Direct? If you have to give it a grade, what do you think?
B, I guess.
I would say probably a C+ or a B-. Really,
B minus seems pretty good.
The only thing that really saves it for me is Luigi's Mansion 3 and Final Fantasy.
Okay, well, I'm going to be the most generous here and give it a solid B+. I think from Luigi's Mansion to Final Fantasy to Smash at the end to some of the ports that they announced, like new Super Mario Bros. Wii U and...
Deluxe.
Deluxe, God. And you know, the excitement of the new Animal Crossing for those that like it. I thought it was a good Direct. Definitely wasn't on par with the Smash Direct though. That was like an A plus. That might have been the best Direct I've ever.
You know
seen.
What? They, I feel like they should have just made this a double stuffed Direct and had both the Smash stuff and all of the stuff we got today in one show.
Look,
that
might
have been the greatest Direct ever. If they did that.
I think it was a good Direct. It was just very, very tame. And unfortunately, right now, with the way the Switch is, I think the Switch needs more knockout Smash announcements and releases as opposed to kind of just going, oh, hey,
I think
that
Animal Crossing is that's a really big announcement. And
it is.
Like,
so
to
is,
a lesser
so is
extent, Luigi's Mansion. But I mean, Luigi's Mansion sold incredibly well on 3DS.
But do you really feel like it gave you that oomph?
Well, I think it's setting the stage for a good 2019, because Nintendo needs one, because I don't think we're going to get another Core Mario or Core Zelda game next year, or else we would have heard about it. And I would think that Metroid Prime 4 is their big holiday game for 2019, but at least now we know that they have a series of solid first-party titles coming in 2019 to help round out the year.
Yeah, it's not
so that's a good thing.
Quiet year, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
I think looking at it, I'm kind of convinced that Metroid Prime 4 is actually a 2020 title now. But I think that next year you're going to have Animal Crossing probably in the fall. You're going to have Fire Emblem probably in the summer. You're going to have Luigi's Mansion in the early fall. Probably the early fall. And then you'll have Pokemon.
Pokemon.
Black Friday. Yeah. So, I think that's a pretty solid window.
Yeah, I always underestimate how big Pokemon is.
Oh, that'll be just massive, I'm sure.
Yeah, so maybe they don't need a Metroid right away, but I want one.
I want one, too. Nobody loves Metroid more than me, but so I hope that this
is the
Metroid game
for
that finally breaks out and, like, sells the millions of copies.
I really want that, and I'm going to be first day buyer for Metroid Prime 4.
Oh, for sure. So yeah, hopefully we get that at E3, even if it is coming 2020. But no, Nintendo's 2019 is looking pretty solid so far. So I can't wait. Hopefully we hear a little bit more about these games at the Game Awards, which is probably the next big show coming up.
Yeah, December.
I'm missing any? Yeah, over in December. So yeah. It's a pretty solid Nintendo Direct. So, any parting words or final words for that before we wrap up? Any last thoughts?
I'm looking at you, Nintendo. You will not ignore Final Fantasy VIII. Just saying it now.
Delete.
See, they're just letting us all wait until they announce Final Fantasy VIII Deluxe U.
Yes.
2019.
I'll take it. I don't care. I'll take it.
Final
It'll have
Fantasy
Ganondorf
8X Squall.
It'll have Ganondorf DLC.
You know,
man,
that could actually work.
How great was that moment though, when they're just like all the greatest Final Fantasies 7, 9, 10. I was cheering at the top of my lungs because I was just picturing Taylor somewhere in California with tears in his eyes. Squall!
It's like all those Luigi fans watching the E3 reveal of Smash, and it says, they're all here! It's like, no, they're not.
Oh, man.
It's okay. As long as I continue to know the truth, that's all that matters.
That's going to do it for us for this week. We hope you enjoyed the show.
And you got to just end the show with Eyes on Me from Final Fantasy VIII.
Do it.
I'm going to end we'll it with it a post. Selection of Final Fantasy IX bangers and then Taylor's Cries, which I'll make into a remix. All right, that's going to do it for this week. That is episode 25 of the Champions Cast. This was a great episode. Thank you very much for tuning in. Don't forget to head over to Podbean and to iTunes. Drop us a like, drop us a comment, drop us a subscription, where you can get new shenanigans every single week, except for last week, which we skipped. I'm really sorry, but I hope that we made it up for it this week with us bashing Taylor the entire episode. I had a lot of fun with that. Don't forget to tune in next week. It'll be the same time, same Zelda channel. Rod, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your analysis. It was a blast.
Absolutely.
Taylor, Sucks to be you.
Don't I know it.
That's going to do it for us. We're out of here. We're out of time. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. Would be hurt. I saw you smiling at me. Was it real or just my fantasy? You'd always be there in the corner of this tiny little bar. My last night here for you. Same old songs, just once more.